2016, Rosh Chodesh Sivan, Tav Shin Ayin Vav, and we are in Perek Mem Gimel of Maseches, of Sefer Bereishis, and it was a little tough finding a Dvar Halacha that's learnt out from this, but however, we looked through the Torah Temima, and we found one, and that is a somewhat esoteric Gemara, found in Gemara Makos, Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis. So based on the pasuk where Yehuda goes to Yaakov and tells Yaakov, please, I want to take Yosef and with me. And he says, Anochi ervenu miyad. I'm going to take Binyamin with me. And he says, Anochi ervenu miyadi tevekshenu, im lo hevi osiv elecha, vihitzaktiv lefanecha, v'chatasi lecha kol hayamim. So I hereby guarantee that from my hand you could demand, if I do not bring back to you him, if I don't bring him back to you and stand him up in front of you, and I will have sinned al lecha kol hayamim, all of my days. And remember, Rashi made the comment, what does all my days mean? Liolam hazeh u liolam haba, both in this world as well as in the next world. So the Gemara in Makos on Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis, Gemara Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, is discussing cases where even though if a tzaddik makes a comment, even though the condition was fulfilled and shouldn't come true, still it has impact anyways. One of the examples is from Eli, because Eli said to Shmuel that I want to hear the prophecy that you tell me, and God will do to you as he does to me. Meaning Eli had his children had sinned, and there was the nevuah that went to Shmuel about the sons of Eli, that things weren't going to, and Shmuel was kind of like wasn't so excited to share it with Eli because it was bad news for his family. So Eli knew something was up. He says, if you don't tell me what happened, what's going to happen to my kids is going to happen to your kids. So Shmuel finally tells him. But the Gemara comments that it was too late, that what happened to Levi, what happened to Eli's kids did happen to Shmuel. That the children of Shmuel did not go in the path of Eli, indicating that even when the Tanai is fulfilled, that should cancel out the words of the Chacham, it's still going to be carried out. So the Gemara then points to our pasuk and says, Amar Yehuda Marav, Nidui al Tanai Tzara Chafara, that even excommunication, and Nidui is like Chayrim, even when you put somebody in Chayrim, so that requires a hafara, that requires a nullification. So how do we know that? From Yehuda, because by Yehuda it says, "Im lo hevi Yosef elech, if I don't bring him back to you and stand him in front of you, so I'm going to be, it will be as if I sinned for all time." So if I'm Rabbi Yishmael bar Nachmani, I'm Rabbi Yochanan, so where does Yehuda get paid back? Right? Where do we say that there is a punishment to Yehuda? So he says, "Mai dechsiv yichi ruvein va'ayimus v'zos liYehuda." So what the Gemara says, and it has a little bit of, it's a little bit lengthy, that if one goes to Parshas Zos HaBracha, where Moshe is giving out the brachos to all of the Shvatim. So first it mentions Ruvain, Yichi Ruvain Valiamos, V'Yisam Mispar, and then Vizos Yehuda. And then it turns, and right away it then turns to Yehuda. So why is Ruvain and Yehuda right next to each other? So the Gemara that tells the story. Kolosun Rabbi Yushanashai Yisrael, B'Midbar, for all the 40 years that B'nai Yisrael was in the desert, at Smosav Shel Yehuda, Hayum Gilgalin Ba'aron, that the bones of Yehuda were rattling around within his coffin, until Moshe stood up and requested mercy for him. What are we talking about, the bones of Yehuda? We talk about the bones of Yosef, that the Atzmos Yosef are being carried off. So how do we know that the bones of Yehuda were being carried as well? So the Pasuk tells us, how do we know that? I noticed that someplace today. Because when Yosef turned to the brothers, the pasuk tells us in Shmos, when they're actually taking him out, Shmos, that Yosef had made his brothers promise to him that you'll take my bones out of here with you. That's what the pasuk says in Shmos, Parakut Gimel Pasuk Yates. You're going to take the bones out of here with you. So, what do you mean with you? The brothers are all dead. Right? The brothers were dead by the time they left Egypt. So the pasuk is saying, so the hint to that pasuk, from that pasuk is that we know about Yosef's bones being taken out, but in fact, all of the Shvatim bones were taken out. That all 12 of the brothers, all of their bodies were taken back to Israel when they left after Mitzrayim. So the Gemara is telling us that apparently as they were carrying them. So the coffin that had Yehuda's bones in them were rattling around. All the bones are shaking around. So why is that? So Yehuda was being punished. What was Yehuda being punished for? So he was being punished for this. Yehuda was put in Cherem because of his promise to Yaakov that I'm going to bring Binyamin back to you, and if I don't, so I should be put in Cherem. Right? So what's the problem with that?
Why is he being punished?
He did what he said he was going to do. Right. Well, what's the problem? Well, he did exactly what he was supposed to do. So why should his punishment be... That's one thing. So why should he be punished? He seems to have made a conditional cherem, and he came through on the condition that he had set. By the way, just to finish off that Gemara, the Gemara points to and says Vizos Lihuda, Shema Hashem Kol Yehuda, that Moshe asked for mercy on behalf of Yehuda. He said, "Listen to the voice of Yehuda, Al Evri Lashaf," and that caused his joints to join back together. But however, he wasn't able to get into the heavenly yeshiva, so he says Ve'Lamot Tivienu, bring him to his people. So that was agreed to as well. Yehuda was able to join the Beis Din Shamala, but he wasn't able to say anything. So therefore he said, Yadav Rav Lo. So he said may his hands contend for him, may be able to say something. However, he still wasn't able to answer any kashas. Lo hava yad lefruke kushya, ve'ezer mitzarav tiyye. So then the pasuk concludes by saying, and you'd be a help against his adversaries. I mean, you'd be able to give Yehuda the intelligence to be able to not just to say divrei Torah in the yeshiva, but to be able to answer the questions that are asked against him. So Yehuda then gets re-entered and as a full-fledged member of the yeshiva shamala. But okay, well, why? What was the problem in the first place? What? This is the Gemara Maseches Makos. Yes, Yud Aleph Amud Beis. So what's going on? So. Okay. All right. But Yehuda did what he needed to do. What?
Did you take Reuben? Did you connect Reuben with Yehuda?
Yeah, it makes a connection. Reuben Yehuda. Yehuda was put next to Reuben. That just as Yehuda. Because the Gemara is hinting to the idea that when Yehuda did his tshuva for Tamar, so Reuven also did his tshuva for the actions that he did with regards to moving the beds around. Right. So that's what Moshe is doing. Moshe is turning to Hashem and saying, in the schus of Yehuda's tshuva, look what he did on behalf of Reuven. Right. So therefore, perhaps we should help him out a little bit and put it into the Beis Din Shamala.
But just when Shimon is stuck in Egypt and they come back to have to bring Benjamin to help get Shimon back, Reuben comes up with this absurd statement like he's overkill.
No, it was about getting Binyamin. Yes,
yeah,
it's
yeah,
true.
Yeah.
That Yehuda had something to do with Binyamin, trying to get Binyamin to go down, and he was pushed aside. Yes,
no, that's also what he said.
I understand. Yeah, he made it. I know. Okay. So the Gemara has three. So amongst the Rishonim kind of all scratch their heads on this and say, that's odd. Why does Yehuda need an annulment? I mean, the Gemara is the actual language is, and this is the way it's quoted in the Rambam, Nidui al Tanai, afil mifiatzmo tsarach hafara, that requires to be mefer the cherem. Cherem is like a neder. Right, just as by a neder you can get it annulled, so to a cherem you can get it annulled. So the Gemara is saying here, even though you fulfilled the condition of the neder, it still needs to be annulled. So, right? So why does it need to be annulled if you fulfilled the condition? So there's three categories of answers. There's a couple different people that give different opinions within each. But the first category of answers is that Tosfos on the page asks this question. Tosfos says, why? What's the problem? Tosfos says, right? Shari hacha hisna bedavar shelo aya badol biyadoli kaim. Right, the Shema Hayim Ma'akva Yosef. Now, what's going on here? That's yes, it's true that Yehuda came through on his promise, but what caused Yehuda to be successful? Was Yehuda sure when he made the neder that was going to be successful? Not necessarily. It was actually a tenai that's not in his hands to fulfill. It wasn't his ability to fulfill. Right? Who gets to decide whether Binyamin goes back? Does Yehuda get to decide? Yosef gets to decide. So therefore, because even though he fulfilled the neder, because it was a fulfillment by way of luck, so to speak, he happened to get lucky. He got Yosef on a good day. That's what one seems to see from Yosef. So therefore, he still needs to get it annulled, because it wasn't really his effort that brought Yosef back. It was the luck of the draw. that brought Yosef back. There is now the, if you remember, we learned yesterday the Sforno, that was kind of Rashi's pshat in the Gemara, that Yehuda says, I guarantee we'll get it back, we have no other choice, I'll bring Binyamin back, that's the last thing I do, and I'm going to get it. That seems to be Rashi's, was Yehuda so confident? So if you ask in terms according to Rashi's pshat on the Chumash, you kind of shrug your shoulders and just say, I'll figure out a way to make it happen. The Sforno, however, commented that entire pasuk is Yehuda convincing Yaakov that, no, I know this guy. I know this fellow who's the king in Egypt, and I know that he gave me his word, and I trust him, and we'll be able to be successful. So if that's the case, that seems to go against the pshat of Tosus. Right? Tosus is saying that it's all based on luck, according to the Sforno. It wasn't based on luck. It was based on Yehuda's guarantees, Yehuda's intuition, that he actually knew people. So in the Ritva's comment on it, he doesn't say that it was, the Ritva gives the same answer. Ritva says, well, it wasn't, because it wasn't completely in the hands of Yehuda to guarantee him back, he still needs to get the Cherem officially annulled.
How about maybe he needs to get the Cherem because he was putting his trust in a man instead of Hashem, Yosef instead of Hashem?
If you're going within the pshat of Tosos's pshat is that, well, it's something that he knew that he could fulfill. So it's true. Well, I don't know how I'm going to be able to fulfill it. I might not wake up the next morning, right? But our assumption is he's saying, according to Derech HaTeva, according to the normal way of things going on, I have the ability to make this happen. So the Ritva gives the same answer and says that you only have to get annulled if it's not in your control, and Yehuda wasn't really in control. Why not? Because it could have snowed. It could have been too hot. It could have been very dangerous for Binyamin to go. That Binyamin maybe wouldn't be able to weather the trip. It's a dangerous trip in the first place. There's Ganavim, there's murder, all the stuff that happens on the road. Right? So there, that's what Yehuda was promising. Yehuda was saying, no, I'll get him back to you. It's not in your hands. It's not in your hands. So that even works within the Sforno's pshat. Even though Yehuda could say, I guarantee that Yosef will give him back, of course his name isn't Yosef yet, I guarantee that this Tzafnas Paneach dude is going to be able to give him back, he couldn't guarantee that he was actually going to bring Binyamin back to Eretz Yisrael. Right? So because even this, regardless of what Yosef did, it was still going to be a dangerous trip. Notwithstanding. So that's the first two answers, Tosus and Ritva. Now, Ritva then goes on, Ritva's a commentary on the Gemara, Ritva goes and gives another answer and says, not only is it unclear whether Binyamin was going to be able to safely make the trip to Egypt and back from Egypt, Ritva says, actually, Binyamin never made the trip back from Egypt. Yehuda never actually fulfilled his promise. If one looks at the pasuk, you never see clearly Binyamin coming back to Eretz Yisrael. And says the and the Meiri, who brings this answer as well, the Meiri quotes this answer from the Gedolei HaKadmonim Shebe Narvona, the Gedolim of Narvon. Narvon is in southwestern France, the area known as Provence. Right, there's an interesting halachic area, the Balamor, the Meiri, the Rivet, as we're going to quote shortly, Chachmi Lunil. There's a whole chevra in that specific area of France that's kind of distinct. No, not Rashi. Rashi and Tosus is northeast France, and this is southwest France, which is close to Spain. Right, which is in a way is more Spanish than France. But anyways, the Meiri comments from the Gedolei Narvona, and it says, I'll bring you a proof that Binyamin didn't actually come back, because when they do come back and they tell Yaakov that Yosef is still alive, what does Yaakov do? What's Yaakov's reaction? The pasuk says Yaakov doesn't believe them, right? And they have to figure out a way to prove to Yaakov that he's still alive. Why didn't they just have Binyamin tell him? Right, Binyamin could have told him. Right, he would have trusted Binyamin. So his that's I'm not sure it's a proof, but at least that is an indicator that perhaps Binyamin never actually made the trip back, right? And all in the entire excitement of finding Yosef, so why don't I keep Binyamin down here? He's my brother. I'll take care of him over here. It's dangerous for him to make the trip, and Yaakov will come here, and he'll meet Binyamin back over here. Right. So he says that's why the cherem was still imposed, because Binyamin never actually made the trip back to Israel. Now,
well, they took it literally rather than figuratively back.
Right. So what that then means is, right, these types of tanaim have to be actually fulfilled, not just to the ratzon of the Baal. I mean, so whoever he made the promise to, so then he's mochel. He says, it's okay, I don't mind anymore. No. But in terms of the cherem requirement, you actually have to go ahead and fulfill it. So because it was never fulfilled, they got into trouble. And the third strand of answers here is the Rambam. And the Rambam just simply shrugs it. Now, the Rambam isn't a pshat on the Gemara. The Rambam is a halacha book. So the Rambam says, Nidui al tanai afilu tamul chacham afmifiyatz mutzar hafara, that if a person makes nidui on themselves, even if it's on condition, he has to get it mafered, no matter what. That's just the deal. So why would that possibly be? So there's a tshuva from the Rashba. Many of these makoros, because I taught Makos in Yeshiva a couple of years ago, I happen to have the Masifta Gemaras at my house. So that it's all a lot of these, not all of them, but most of these sources are laid out in the Yalkut Biurim in the back. So the Rashba, which he has parentheses here, Miyuchesas L'Ramban. There is some confusion about the Ramban's writings, that some of it shows up as the Rashba's writing. There's some commentaries that the Rashba has that they say, oh, that was really written by the Ramban, and there are things that are attributed to the Ramban that is really attributed to the Rashba. So the Rashba was a Talmud of the Ramban, and there's a little bit of confusion who wrote what. So there is a truth of the Rashba that they attribute to the Ramban, that he says the reason is that even though that a neder, let's say you take a neder al tanai, I mean, this thing is going to be prohibited to me if I don't do X, if I come late to davening, so then this thing is going to be prohibited to me. So when does that thing become prohibited? Only once you show up late to davening. Right? Same thing with Yeshua. The thing becomes prohibited once I show up. What about this story? So the issue with Cherem is, Cherem was from the beginning. That Yehuda says, I'm hereby in Cherem until I bring Yehuda back. So the cherem already exists. So it's not continue. It doesn't start existing later on. It's starting to exist right now. Now that actually raises a question that it says that Yosef hugged and kissed all of his brothers. So how could he have hugged and kissed Yehuda? Yehuda was in cherem. Right, that was a lab. Okay. Anyways, that's a question that's asked. But anyways, that's what the Rambam seems to say. So these are the three strands of thought amongst the Rishonim, that why is it that you require it that we require hafara? Number one, the answer is, well, you require hafara if it wasn't totally in your control. I mean, you required luck in order to get it down, in order to get it done. So that's going to require hafara even if it happens to get done. The answer number two of the Ritva is that no, Yehuda never actually fulfilled the Tanai, because Binyamin never actually came back. Now, the truth is that goes a little bit against the language of the Gemara, because the Gemara says, Nidui al tanai tzara hafara requires annulment. Actually, the Gemara doesn't actually say, even if you get it done. Right, the Gemara never actually makes a comment on that. Fine. And then the third teretz is that of the Rambam, saying that, no, that's a din in cherem, because charamim happen, and therefore, in order for it not to exist anymore, you need a way to cut it off. Now, if we take then within the Rambam, so the Rambam said Nidui al tanai afilu mifiyatz mutzar hafara. Then the Rambam goes on and says, Tamar chacham shnida atzma. Let's say a Tamar chacham puts himself in cheirim. Vafilu nida atzma al das ploni. And even if he does it based on someone else's consideration, afilu adavar shechayv al nidui harezim meifil atzma. He actually has the ability to be made for himself. That's the din that the Rambam has. That a Talmud Chacham has the ability to be made for other people's Nedarim by himself. He doesn't require a Beis Din. One person, in theory, could do it. So in theory, he could be made for his own Nedarim, his own Cherem. So says the Ravid.
Now that's what I was thinking about, how in and out of the system. Because usually when a guy goes in a Cherem, somehow or else the putting himself in Cherem.
Right. Okay. So there is. So he has an ability to actually do it himself. So the Ravid, at least that's what the Rambam claims. So the Ravid asks on the Rambam. The Ravid is within the comments of the Rambam. So he asks, "No, I could prove from you this story that that's not true. How do you prove from this story that that's not true?" Says the Ravid. Amar Avram, ze inu mechuver. No, this isn't clear. Im kein, Yehuda, lama, lo, hefer, liatzma. Then why did Yehuda just be mefer his own nether? Why did Yehuda just get rid of it? Ve'al kol ze kash li Yaakov, lama, lo, hetiru. And still I have another question. Why wasn't Yaakov matir? Right? Why wasn't one of them matir? It must be that it's not subject to hafara. So the commentators point. So the commentators on the Rambam, the Kesef Mishnah, and a few of the people in the back. So they both say that no, somebody messed up here, which is hard to say. I mean, doesn't Yehuda know? Doesn't Yaakov know Beferish Gemara in Makos Dafil Alfam Aves? Right? Doesn't Yehuda? I'm sure gave a Daf Yomi share. Right? Why doesn't he know this? This Gemara. So that, it's always problematic, and it's always problematic whenever you get into these discussions of they're trying to figure out what the halacha, right? But anyways, the commentators say either Yehuda messed up or Yaakov messed up. Either Yaakov just assumed he was so excited about Binyamin coming, he assumed that the Tanai was fulfilled or something, and it wasn't. Or Yehuda messed up and not demanding that it be Mefer, but somebody had made a mistake didn't allow themselves to be Mefer, and that's why Yehuda suffered for the 40 years that they were in the desert. Yeah, so there is an answer to that kasha, and that is that the Mordechai. So one answer is that Yaakov messed up. Another answer, the Pri Chadash in the back of the Rambam says that Yehuda messed up. And then there's the Mordechai. Mordechai is a commentary in the back of the Gemara. Says no. If you remember, what did the Rashi say when Yehuda said, "I'll hereby be in Cherem, I'll hereby be excommunicated"? What was Rashi's comment there? Rashi's comment, right? Mitoch chayehem. What was the word? The word was again. Elecha v'itzati lefanecha v'chatasi lecha kol hayamim. I will have sinned in front of you all my days. What did Rashi comment on all my days? Liholam azet uliholam haba. Right. So says the Mordechai. So maybe he could get it annulled with regards to this world. But what gives him the right to annul in the next world? So that then becomes, is it possible for it to be annulled in the next world? So according to this Mordechai, it seems like it's not. In which case, then you have to ask your question of, what in the world was Yehuda thinking? Right? If Yehuda, I'm sure, knew a Mordechai in the back of Maseches Bava Metzias someplace, right? So Yehuda takes this neder that is going to apply and going to give up his Olam Haba, right? How did he do such a thing? Unless you start getting into that realm of Yehuda, what was Yosef demanding? Remember, Yosef was demanding Achdus. That was the shiur we gave last Thursday that I can't seem to pull off of this MP3 player. Yosef was demanding that there be a brotherhood joined together, right, to the point that Yehuda was even willing to become an Eved for the sake of his brother. So is it possible that Yosef was demanding even that somebody give up their Olam Haba for the sake of their brotherhood? That's already pretty heavy, right? You think that's a stretch? Okay, that's already a bit difficult to grasp. But anyways, but it's a question. Either why wasn't it annulled? Either Yaakov made a mistake, Yehuda made a mistake, or the nature of the cherem was such that it can't be annulled with regards to the next world, right? That, by the way, answers the question of how could Yosef have hugged Yehuda? Because Yosef could hug Yehuda because he took care of the cherem in this world. It's only the cherem in the next world that's a problem. And when was Yehuda punished? Yehuda's only punished after he died, not while he was alive. So that that question is kind of floating out there for some to decide. Just one.
Well, this originated because his bones were rattling, right?
That's that there's this Gemara that asserts that his bones are rattling in the coffin.
And
yeah.
So
Moshe davened on behalf of Yehuda and was able to get it settled down. Yeah. So in the very back of the Masechta Gemaras, there is a section here called the Liba de Hilchasa, where it quotes interesting ideas within halachas. How is this quoted in Shulchan Aruch? So in Shulchan Aruch in Yoredeya Simin Shin Lamed Dalet Sif Lamed, so it quotes this din that quotes the Rambam, the Nidu Al Tanai Afilu Mifiat with Sarach Hafara. But then it goes on V'yesh Omer. However, if it was something that he could have ensured that he would have accomplished on his own, so then it doesn't require to be mefer, right? Which seems to be a the Rambam and Tosos, right, using Tosos' understanding of the Gemara. So he has here a shaila from the Shaila Teshuvah's Beis Yehuda. Didn't have a chance to figure out who that was, but he has the following Shaila. Nishal ba'adam echad, he's kotet im b'no al iz inyan, that he had some kind of fight with his son. Mitochakas kapeitz v'nishba v'nida es asum v'olam azel v'olam haba, im yochal chamin ad purim. He said, I'm hereby putting myself in chayrim. If I don't eat chamin, if I don't eat hot food until Purim, so now he fulfilled it, right? He started asking a question about how am I prohibited on it. So the Beis Yehuda says, wait a second, if he fulfilled his Tanai, right, he shouldn't have to worry about it anymore. He says, "O shema hanidui chal b'chol open," or maybe the nidui is always chal, and he requires a hafara regardless. So how do we pass in this case? Does he require to be mefer this the nidui? He already survived until Purim without eating the food. But does he require, assuming he survives until Purim without eating the hot food, does he then need a hafara? So that's a machlokas between the Rambam and Tosos, right? The Rambam would say yes, because it's a din regardless. Al Tosos says, well, it's in his control about whether he's going to eat hot food or not. So therefore, one shouldn't have to worry about it. There's one more issue, also from the Shas HaShuvah's Beis Yehuda, that a person says, I hereby am put in chayrim if I stole that money from you. Right? He's swearing, he wants to make it clear that he didn't steal that money. He says, if I stole it, so then I'm hereby put in chayrim. So does that require hafara? So the Beis Yehuda says, no, because keep in mind, right? What was the reason we said, even according to the Rambam, what was the reason that the Chayrim stands even if he fulfills the Tanai? He says, because, remember we made that distinction, that when it comes to according to a Neder or a Shvua, the Neder or Shvua come into play once the Tanai is fulfilled. I mean, if I come late to davening, so then it's going to come into play. But the Chayrim is active right away. So it says the base is a Shaila of Shuvah's Beis Yehuda. What about this case? In this case, did the Chayrim ever come into being? So Beis Yehuda says no, right? He's swearing about something that happened already. He's not swearing about something in the future. He's swearing about the past. So if he's swearing about the past, he knows that it's true. He knows he didn't steal the money. So therefore, the Chayrim never actually got working at all. And in theory, he doesn't require hafara on that either. So anyways, that's the halacha topic. Mem Gimel, yes.
He's just saying, I'm so sure I didn't do it. I'm going to take a chance.
So the consequences of Chayrim in this world are...
What does it mean if you're in Chayrim?
Yeah, so the consequences in this world are that people aren't allowed to have business with you.
Business?
You're not allowed to sit together. You're not allowed to say hello. He has to have his own section in shul if he comes at all. These actually come up nowadays with like the aguna issue, that a man refused to give his wife a get, not showing up to Beis Din, so that actually we put him in chayrim. That's actually the rules if it's carried out correctly.
Associate with him,
right?
If he still got a minion, would he be counted as a minion?
Does he get counted? I don't believe he's counted. There's a if you follow the aguna issues at all, there is a. There's a video, you can catch it on YouTube, where the head of Ora, Rabbi Jeremy Stern, who came to our shul, he spoke in our shul a couple years ago now, a year ago. So he showed up at a minyan, and he recognized the guy at the minyan was a guy who hadn't given his wife a get in 15 years. And he takes out his video camera, and he's feeling, we are not starting davening until that man leaves the room. Because he hasn't given his wife a get for 15 years, I'm not davening the same minyan as that guy. And he left. You can catch him on YouTube. Yeah. What?
Is that like Karas?
Yes, I'm not sure how it works with regards to the next role that they're imposing now.
One question. Yeah. You said Yehuda and Yaakov. What did Yaakov say that he would get?
Yaakov didn't absolve him, meaning it was a promise that was made to Yaakov. In theory, it was in the power of Yaakov to absolve him from his chayrim, and Yaakov never did it.
Oh, I got it.
He could have.
Yeah, he could have, and it just never happened.